Jada Dhamma Dava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astotar Shata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Turner Vindabhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astotar Shata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Gangamai Ki Jai. Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai. Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimha Dev Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are doing verses 44 through 46. So verses 44 and 45, that's combined together, and we'll do that simultaneously, and 46 we'll do responsively. So together, anyway, one piece is missing. So together, Kasyapa Uvacha. No, together. Krita sakonuta pena ratya prasanat bhagavat yugru manakja bhave maya pichadarat putras yaiva chaputranam bhavitaika satamata gasyantya disasya sudam Bhagavatya Shashashamam. Translation and purport. Well, no purport for this one. But translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The learned Kasyapa said, because of your lamentation, penitence, and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahalad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Personality of Godhead. And 46, responsively, Yogair he me vadur varnam bhava yishyanti sadhava nirveradi biratmanam yachilam anuvartitum yogair he me vadur varnam Bhavya yisyanti sadhava Nirveradi biratmanam Yachilam anuvartitum Yogair he me vadur varnam Bhavya yisyanti sadhava Nirveradi biratmanam Yachilam anuvartitum. Please chant. Yogair vehe me vadur varnam Bhavir yashanti sa Nirvairadi biratmanam Yachila manivartitum Yogair heme vadurvarnam Bhavashishyanti sadavaha Nirvairadi biratmanam Yashilama. Mutters. Yogair he me vadurvana. Bhava yisyanti sadhava. Yachilam anivartitum. Yogair he me vadurvarnam Bhava yishyanti sadhavaha Nirveradi biratmanam Yachinam Yogai, by the rectifying processes. Hema, gold. Eva, like. Durvarnam, inferior quality. Bhava yisyanti, will purify. Sadavaha, saintly persons. Nirvair adibi, by practice of freedom from animosity, etc. Atmanam, the self, yet, whose, shilam, character, anuvartitum, to follow in the footsteps. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity. Just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Purport. Yoga practice The process of purifying one's existential identity is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways. Yet, after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurame Tamina Tasmai Shigurave Nama Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Shila Virvau Prabhuti Namine Shri Shivanita Vivira Padapat Pankajayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shivir Bhave Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivrishesha Sanyavadi Paschata Desha Dharane Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Yavacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevya Namana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shridvaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So for setting the scene here, for beginning with verse 45 and 46, Kasyapa Muni is instructing his wife, Diti. This is after Diti had done something wrong. Due to her feminine nature that took the better of her. But afterwards, she's recollecting herself. And so he's instructing her that because of these items that she's putting in place in her life, because of her lamentation, penitence, and proper deliberation, and because of her unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that because she is now acting in this way, then something very good is going to happen. So, in Krishna consciousness, it's the same thing. And we have seen, when I read this, deliberation, lamentation, and penitence, these three descriptions, there are two personalities, vivid personality that came to my mind in the Chaitanya Leela. I'm wondering if anyone is on the same page to think of who those two personalities are. Very prominent personalities in Chaitanya Leela that who lived their life by these three things, lamentation, deliberation, and penitence, and unflinching faith in the Lord. Jagai and Madai. That's who I'm talking about. After they became devotees, they had an unflinching faith in the Lord, and their whole life they spent like this, in deliberation and lamentation of what they have done in the past, in penitence or repentance to rectify their situation. And with full faith in the personality of Godhead, they spend the rest of their lives worshiping everyone that came through their path. Like they had this ghat, and they were washing the feet of everyone who came. And not only devotees, non-devotees also. Everyone. That's how Chaitanya Charitamrita describes it. Everyone who came, they washed their feet, they're begging for forgiveness, whether they have offended that personality or not, and they continue like that. So These qualities is instructive here for us to develop, and once we can put our minds to doing that, then success is guaranteed for us. So whilst on the one hand there is lamentation, repentance, and deliberation, on the other hand, we have to put our faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unflinching faith. And not only in the Lord, but as described here, in Lord Shiva, who is a great Vaishnava, and also her husband, who is her guru, and also a great sage, Kasyapa Muni. So this is very instructive in this verse. So for us, it's very similar practice that we have to engage in, and we can even use this, we can use different terms from a different angle and describe this. And like, for example, this temple management, every year they perform a little activity that might not be significant, but if you look at it, it analyzes and encompasses our entire practice of Krishna consciousness. And what that is, of course, there are many things that they do, but one thing that stands out, what I want to talk about today or mentioned, is every year during the rainy season, the entrance of the temple, the driveway, is flooded. And what the management do? They try to restrict that water, they try to redirect it, and they construct a path so that the water can be diverted too. So if you look at that, it encompasses what Krishna consciousness is all about, the three R's of Krishna consciousness: restriction, redirection, and reconstruction. So once one comes to Krishna consciousness, the first thing he has to do is to restrict himself from his present or past activities. And his thoughts also, his or her thoughts, they have to restrict that. That's why our process is not called Priti Yoga or Rasa Yoga, it's called Bhakti Yoga and Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi means intelligence, that with intelligence, one diverts his or her practice. Priti, love for Krishna, that comes after, but Buddhi comes first. With intelligence, we apply these practices within our lives. So here with restriction, we first restrict ourselves. We first understand that now that I'm coming to Krishna consciousness, this is what I should do, and this is what I shouldn't do. So both things have to be hand in hand, the do's and the don'ts. We have to list them side by side. So that's the first thing. We have to redirect our thoughts and practices. And then we have to not only to restrict, but then we have to redirect those thoughts and practices to bring it in a spiritual way. So that's the next step, from restriction to redirection. So once we're redirecting it in the proper way, then it's not enough. If you redirect the flow of the water in a different direction, it's not enough, because it would pull up and then it would flow backwards. So we have to construct a new path so that can flow, just like the temple does up front here. So within us, we have to reconstruct a new path for our thoughts and words and activities to flow. So this is the three R's: restriction, redirection, and reconstruction. So in other words, that's what is actually describing here with Mother Diti. She's first of all lamenting for what she has done. Then she's performing penitence, she's repenting for what she has done, and then she's deliberating on it. And now she's turning around, turning in the different direction. And what happens? Her husband here, Kasyapa Muni, is saying that because you have acted in this way, and because you have unflinching faith in the Lord, the Guru, which is him, and Sadhu, like in this case Lord Shiva, then there is a great reward that the son of one of your sons, which is Prahalad, who is to be the son of Hiranyakashipu, he would become a great devotee and great and approved devotee of the Lord. So this is a reward for one acting in such a pious way. So the Lord rewards accordingly. And not only accordingly, from what we understand, he rewards much more. Like it's saying that if we make one step towards the Lord, he makes 10 steps towards you. In many fronts, we see that he makes much more than 10 steps to clear the path, to give us facilities so that we can practice Krishna consciousness, we can act in such a way that we can develop our lives successfully, spiritually. So everything is there. And not only that, but he creates such a situation, like with Lord Chaitanya bringing Sankirtan to this world, he creates such a situation that everyone benefits. So with Krishna demanded that Sarva Dharma Parichaja, that you surrender, then I will take away the reaction of your sins. Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'll give love of God to everyone, but you have to have some faith, you have to come. Srila Prabhupada is saying, even if you don't come, I'll come and find you. Like Srila Prabhupada said that we didn't have to go and search for him, or his disciples didn't have to go and search for him. He came and searched for them. He came, he found them. Lord Nityananda is saying, even if you run away in the opposite direction, I'll run behind you and catch you. So much facilities that we have in Krishna consciousness, that everything is there, everything is offered to us. So in this purport, going to this next verse, it's saying that in order to follow in his footsteps, which is Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps, saintly person will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. So in this purport, it talks about the very first line, says, yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. So again, it's the same thing as saying here, that self-control. So where does that self-control come from? Does it come naturally? The mere fact you say self-control, it means an exercise, an effort, a workout that we have to practice. So again, it comes from buddhi yoga, from buddhi intelligence. It doesn't come from priti, from love. Love comes after. Initially, the self-control has to be there, the practice, the effort, that has to be there. So it's saying that devotees try to emulate the character of Prahlad Maharaj, try to imitate, try to reach that standard. And so, because Prahlada described here, he would be, what did he describe that? That his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the personality of Godhead. So what are those qualities that cause Prahlad's fame to be broadcast like that? What is it that is so attractive about Prahlad that would cause his fame to be broadcast? So at this point, I would like to open the floor. Let's have an interactive discussion describing some of the qualities of Prahlad, and also matching devotees who we know prominently that also have those qualities. So let's start with Prahlad's purity and patience. That Sri Prahlad, from the very birth, he was very, very pure, mainly because he was instructed and he got all his spiritual knowledge from within the womb of, when he was still within the womb of his mother. So he was taught everything. So when he took birth, he took birth as a self-realized soul, very pure. And he was very innocent also, very patient, that so many ways his father and all his father's comrades tried to kill him, that he was very patient throughout all that process. So can someone give some other description of some of those qualities within that line of purity and patience that Sri Prahlad has, or other devotees manifested? Prabhu, here, and then we'll come to you.
I was going to say fearless. He was, even as he was being tortured, but even when he saw Narasimhadev, he was fearless. And I think, devotees, when they have faith, I can't say for me, but, you know, big devotees, and you could say that, are fearless because they have such faith in Krishna will protect them at all times. So I think fearless, I would say.
Yes, so based on the way you describe it, is that they go together. Fearlessness and faith goes together. Like unflinching faith. So one time Srila Prabhupada, when he was walking in Calcutta, walking by his childhood street that he grew up on, next, the street over where he had to go for college, since when he was a young man, there was a building, a tall, really tall building that they were constructing. And anyone who goes to India, they know that their construction scaffold is bamboo tied together. And it was so tall, so Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, he said, when I was a young man, I used to like climbing all the way to the top of that construction. And that was still there after so many years. So then Brahmananda Swami and the other devotee says, oh, Prabhupada, you are very, very brave to do that. Prabhupada said, how do you think I am able to come all the way to the West by myself at such an age, such a health condition, such of impure situation, and preach Krishna consciousness? I had to be brave and I had to be dependent on the Lord. I had to be fearless. So just want to share that. So Mother, yes, so can you describe a little bit more on that? What? Yeah, okay,
compassion for enemy.
That he's compassionate towards his enemies also. So, which means that a devotee like Prahlad is not on the material platform. As that's what this verse describes here, no animosity. You know, he's not inimical towards anyone, whether they're his friends or enemies, it doesn't matter. His compassion for everyone remains the same. That means that he sees things on a different level, on a spiritual level. So that's one of the qualities that we have to develop also. We see things like that. So on many fronts we saw like Srila Prabhupada would do that also in many, many cases. So somebody else had their hand around here? At the bottom. Oh, Mother Ragatnika.
He was self-satisfied because when the Lord asked him to express what benediction he would like, I think several times, but he said, no, I just want to bless my father or liberate my father. But he didn't have any self.
After that, after he was offered that benediction, The Lord offered him again, insisted that take a benediction. So he did ask for a benediction. He asked that his father be excused and be liberated. But then the Lord asked him to now take a benediction again. And what did he say? After the Lord was insisting, he said, please benedict me that I would not want any benediction. Yes. So he said, please bless me that I will not ask for anything. And so the Lord said, so be it. So that's also very instructive of what, even though in the seventh canto, there's that popular verse, one of my favorite. How'd that go? Om namo bhagavate narasingaya namaste jastejase avir avir bhava vrajana kam vraja damsha kamra sharam randaya randaya tamur grasha grasha om swaha abayam abayam abhutanam am shram. So it's om shram. So Prahlad Maharaj is directly praying that, O Lord, just like your sharp nails ripped apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu, please rip apart our demon-like desires for attachment in this world. O Lord, please appear in our hearts so that by your mercy I can become fearless for existence in this material world. So he's directly asking, please appear before us and give us that fearlessness. Again, what Prabhu is saying, fearlessness. That we can struggle for existence. He didn't say, oh Lord, take away the struggle. Just give me two bungalows. Just give me all polish everything. Give me all the riches in the riches. In the bank, my bank account should be huge. No, he didn't ask for that. He said, give me the faith so I can carry on the struggle, that I would not give up. So like that. So, anything else, Mother Ekadasi?
He was merciful because what the knowledge that he had, he would share also with his classmates.
Yeah. So again, yes, he's merciful. At the same time, he wasn't envious or inimical towards them because they are non-devotees. You know, he was very open. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you have that problem, but I do, that when I see outsiders, I think, oh, these are non-devotees, these are meat eaters, oh, they're drinking coffee, they're doing different things. I am better in that. That's what I'm saying indirectly. I'm better, and therefore I keep my distance. I don't associate with them. But no, that wasn't Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj associated with all these demoniac friends, and not only associated with them, but he gave them his association. He made them devotees. He tried to preach to them. He tried to give them the best of what he had. So, yes, merciful is there. So, Mother Yovanananda?
He has great great love for Lord Nrisimhadev. Because if you love someone, you won't have any fear. And everyone else was afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, but he wasn't.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Mother Lakshmi had a lot of love for Lord Nrisimhadev, but she was fearful when she saw him. I'm just trying to be contradictory. I don't mean contradict what you're saying. But yes, because when Lord Nrisimhadev appeared and all the demigods, they were fearful, they went to her, oh, Lakshmi Devi, please, you know, you're the wife, you're the better half, or as we say in Guyana, you're the bigger half of the husband. Go and appease him. She said, oh, no, not me. I've never seen a form like that. I'm accustomed to seeing Lord Vishnu lying on the causal ocean and massaging his feet, and he sleeps all day, you know, so I have no problems, no argument, no fighting. He just sleeps and I massage his feet. But a form like this I've never seen. I'm not going there. So then they said, okay, Prahlad, you go. And Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly went ahead. Fearlessly. No objections, no hesitation. You know, like how Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he was asked by Krishna to tell a lie, to do something, instruction, divine instruction directly from the personality of Godhead, what he did, he hesitated. Because of that, his fame dropped. His chariot wheels, which were riding four fingers over the ground, they touched the ground. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't hesitate. Immediately, full faith, full surrender, he went like that. Yes, Mother Hemavati?
What impresses me is that he was not asking for changing his material situation. He was in a demon family. And he never thought that was an impediment to his advancement. Because sometimes we think, I cannot do devotional service in this environment. But he was in the demon family. That's quite incredible.
Yeah. Look what Srila Prabhupada met with when he first came. He was there in the house of Gopal and Sali Agarwal. And he had to put his boga right next to their meat in the refrigerator, you know. And he tolerated. He didn't blame, "Oh, Krishna, why are you putting me in this situation? Why didn't you give me a nice polished situation and send all devotees, you know, surrounded me, worship me, and like that?" No. Whatever the situation, he didn't complain. You know, that's another quality of the devotee. Very tolerant, they don't complain, but they just make the best use. Like Gaur Govinda Maharaj, when he first joined, I think he took first, second, and sannyas initiation at the same time from Srila Prabhupada. One of the only persons I think Srila Prabhupada did that with, I'm not sure. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada sent him to preach to Bhubaneswar and Jagannath Puri in that area. He went there, there was no one, nothing, no facilities. So he was staying, a sannyasi, he was staying in the construction camp on the road with construction workers. And they were all devotees. They were all devotees of meat, alcohol, and cigarettes like that. They were all devotees of those things. And he was staying right there. And he never one day complained. Because the thought is, my guru gave an instruction. Now I have to make use of this situation and perfect it. And we all know what happened, what he did in Bhubaneswar. So like that. So another quality is his affection. His affection for everyone. So he was very pure and patient. He was very respectful. He's very affectionate. That with all these people who were trying to harm him in so many different ways, shape, and form, his father, he was very affectionate towards him. There was one pastime with Srila Prabhupada. I don't know where he was, but Srila Prabhupada came out of their temple building or house, wherever they had their program, I think their temple, and Srila Prabhupada was going to turn right, and the devotee was saying, no, Prabhupada, don't go that way, turn left. So Prabhupada said, why? He said, this next door neighbor, this old lady, she's so inimical towards us that every time she sees us, it's a problem. So Prabhupada deliberately disregarded them, and he turned right. He went over, he saw the old lady sitting in the yard, he walked right on her lawns, and that's one big thing, you don't walk on people's lawns here. I learned that the hard way when I first came to the U.S., in Miami. So he walked right over and he started talking to the lady in a very social way. Oh, you know, how are you doing? You know, you still have all your teeth in your mouth. Look, I have, you know, despite some of them are bad, but I have them. How is it? Talks very, very socially. And the lady, you know, was reciprocating. Oh, you know, this old man, you know, the old people, they talk. Then afterwards, Prabhupada said, you know, this evening we have a nice program here. Would you like to come? She said, oh, yes, I'd like to come. And then the devotees are saying, oh, you know, she was so inimical towards us. And look, within a few moments, you know, you get her to come. So we find that with Sanatana Goswami also, in the life of Sanatana Goswami, he used to walk all of Raj. from Govardhan Hill to Mathura, all around. And many times what he would do, he would meet the villagers and he would ask them, oh, how is your family doing? How many children you have? Are you planning on getting your daughter married? How are their health? How is your income? And like very, apparently like very, very social Gramya Kata per se. But he would act in that way. He would, and like that, everyone in Vraj became their favorite. They loved him so much. And they worshiped him, they took care, so like that. But in a very simple way, that's how he was preaching Krishna consciousness on some fronts. Of course, we know that he wrote many books. He was doing parakram of Govardhan every day. He was roaming Braj every day like that. So, but just this social appreciation for others can bring about such a quality. And Srila Prabhupada showed that in many fronts, you know, like that. So his affection, then his humility. Prahlad Maharaj was very, very humble. So can we get some examples of some humility of devotees or Prahlad? How he showed that? Yeah. Yes, Mother Ragatmika?
I think at one public event, he was describing the four classes of human beings, or I don't know if it was the four varnas or something. Anyway, first class, second class, third class. And then someone in the audience said, so how do you see yourself as first
four,
class?
Second, third.
And he says, no, I'm the servant of all the others. Mm. In other words, fourth class.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, he said beyond fourth class, I'm fifth class.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he said he's not even fourth class. So, yeah, like that. So that's Srila Prabhupada's humility. We find Prahlad Maharaj is also very, very humble. Anytime with his teachers. And he was very respectful to all of them. That when he was there in school, they were teaching him about politics and diplomacy and whatever they teach politicians to be trained in that way. He didn't accept, but he tolerated, he go through with the motion, and he took a very humble position. We find Lord Chaitanya did that on so many fronts. When he was being instructed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for 7 days, Lord Chaitanya sat there without saying anything. Only after 7 days that he spoke, he took that very humble position. When he was there with Prakashananda Saraswati and his all his sannyas students. Well, Lord Chaitanya went, he sat where they were washing their feet. And they told him, no, that you look like a very elevated person, this glowing sannyasi, please come and sit with us. And he said, no, I'll sit here. Like that, he took the very humble position and he didn't challenge them, oh, you're Mayavadis, you're low class, I'm better than you. No. We also have the example of Rupa Goswami. And who is that? Valva Bhattacharya? When Rupa Goswami was writing his book, and he asked this I think was Valva Bhattacharya, that when he came to visit, and he was not from their sampradaya, and he wasn't even a devotee. He was more like a scholar and like a Mayavadi. So Rupa Goswami very humbly asked him, that please, look at my commentary and tell me if there are any mistakes or whatever. He didn't say, oh, you're low class, who are you? He said, just look at it. And then when he looked at it, he said, oh, there's a mistake here. He said, okay, I'll just adjust it, I'll correct it. He didn't argue with him, he didn't even, verify, well, okay, whether it's a mistake or not. He humbly accepts, well, okay, here is a senior, prominent person, he says, and I'm going to follow suit. Of course, Jiva Goswami didn't take it that way. Jiva Goswami, he was a young Jiva, the servant of Rupa Goswami, being their nephew and much younger. He said, no, this is nonsense, this is wrong. I'll go and correct it. So he went, he followed Valva Bhattacharya to the, when he went to take bath, and he pointed out that what you have instructed here is wrong, and he argued with him and proved to him. And of course, Rupa Goswami chastised him that you're very arrogant, that you're so arrogant that I don't think I want you here, so he sent him away. Anyway, there's a whole long story that happened like that, but the humility is what we're talking about, that how one can practice humility, that in cases where you might think, well, okay, I can see from so many fronts that this person is wrong. I remember my first meeting with Ayendra Prabhu. I didn't know who he was. I went to Vrindavan in 2006, and I just saw this person standing with a group of Indian people, and he was preaching to them. And he was speaking in English, and when I looked, I had to meet him for something. I had to meet him, so I was waiting there, because somebody said, I think I needed some, I don't know, I don't remember what it was, but whatever I needed, they said, go to that person, he can help you. So when I went, he was talking to these people, so I stood patiently waiting, and I heard he was preaching to them, and then I started getting irritated, I started getting worked up, I said no, because what he was preaching to them was wrong, he was saying something wrong. And I said, look, I can't tolerate this, so I stepped in. I said, Prabhu, that's wrong, you know, that no, that's not right, that philosophy is wrong. And I started showing him what's right. So he just looked at me, smiled, and then afterwards the people left. And he called me, he said, you know what, I know I was wrong, but I was making a point to those people to get them to a certain way, and then I would have corrected them after. So I said, my God, look what I did. And then I asked him, so, okay, what's your name, Prabhu? He said, I am the Ayendra Prabhu. I felt so bad, you know, that he's such a prominent personality, you know, such, he's like the light of Vrindavan. And here I am going there for the first time, and I'm challenging, you know, so like that. So anyway, then we also have other qualities of Prahlad, like his learning, his leniency, and his determination and dependence on the Lord. That's another great quality. That it's described in the past times that when they were throwing, like when they were throwing Prahlad off the cliff, it's not that the Lord went and grabbed him and, you know, avoid him. He's being thrown off such a high thing. And he didn't say, oh my Lord, why aren't you saving me? No, he had full faith and determination that the Lord would save him, that the Lord would take care. It's only when he fell to the bottom, then the hand of the Lord came in place. Similarly with Arjuna on the battlefield, throughout the Mahabharata, you find so many instances. One prominent one, Arjuna on the battlefield, when he had to kill, when he made a promise to kill Jayadrath, he was so angry at the death of his son caused by the hands of Jayadrath that he made his promise that before the sun sets the next day, I'll kill Jayadrath. So when he finally had the opportunity, then with his sharp arrows, he cut off the head of Jayadrath. And as the head is about to fall to the ground, Krishna said, hey, I have to tell you something. Don't let that head fall on the ground. So immediately he had to shoot more arrows to keep that head off. And then Krishna in his own sweet time is telling him what's the benediction that Jayadrath's father has. He said, you know, that Jayadrath's father has a benediction. He has been benedicted that anyone's, how did that go? Lord Shiva gave the benediction that, Jayadrath had the benediction that whoever made his head fall on the ground, their own head would burst into 100 pieces. So you cannot let Jayadrath's head fall on the ground. And that's when he already cut off his head, floating in the air, he has to keep arrows. Krishna didn't tell him before because Krishna had the whole day And the night before, when he made that promise, Krishna had so much time to tell, well, hey, you got to be careful. This is the story behind him. This is the benediction. No, Krishna didn't do that. When in the middle of that, that's when Krishna is telling him. So then Arjuna said, what should I do? In the meanwhile, he's shooting arrows to keep the head up. He said, now, over way over there, and you have to figure out how to get his head there. His father is sitting in meditation. And I want you to shoot, direct his head so it can fall on the lap of his father. So remember, Arjun can't see there. But by his own expertise at archery and depending and his dependence on the instruction and on the lord, he's carrying out instructions. He didn't have time to think. Remember, you know, the head is falling on the ground. He didn't have, how long does it take to fall from a body that's 7-8 feet tall to the ground? Within a split of a second. But he had to execute instruction as they were coming. And he directed that head, drop it on the Jayadrath's father's lap, and that broke his meditation. He jumped and he pushed it off. So his own head got cracked into 100 pieces. If not, Arjuna would have been in trouble. So that's another case of dependence on the Lord. You know, they're totally dependent. So all these are qualities of Prahlad from all different angles, that why he's so much sought after, that why he's such an approved devotee of the Lord. So these are just some few points we can go on for hours discussing about the glories of Sri Prahlad. But this verse is very applicable to that, so we just want to mention so. It's after 9. Is anyone want to add anything to that, or we should stop here? Okay, I guess we should stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.